Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Any Stupid Questions, the podcast where some idiots ask an expert all about their area of expertise and listen to the answers. Much like the current government, except we ask an expert all about their area of expertise and listen to their answers. I'm Carrie Quinlan. I'm sitting in for Danielle Ward, who is too busy doing an actual paid job to be on her own podcast that she thought up and does. Joining me to explain the police to us is Rick Muir, the chair of the Police Foundation. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
I'm also joined by comedians Gareth Gwynn and Olivia Lee. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Now, no one listens to the end of podcasts for the things you want to plug, so you've got 5 seconds now to plug something. No more than five or people will get bored. Olivia, what would you like to plug?
I've just done a mindfulness album for mums.
What?
It's like it's comedy meditation tracks, and it's called How Not to Lose Your Total Fucking Shit. And it's released on Mother's Day on all platforms, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube.
That's amazing. Gareth, top that.
I'm not going to top that. I'm going to push. I've just done a Radio 4 show called Gareth Gwynn's Alternative Archive, and you can look it up on BBC Sounds.
Rick, would you like to plug something?
I have nothing to plug.
That saves us time. First question. What is the Police Foundation?
We're a think tank, so we're an independent think tank. We were set up because there was a feeling in the early 80s that policing policy was dominated by the government and by the police. So we were set up as an independent body to research and produce evidence around how to improve the work of the police.
So, right, so you're completely independent and you look the police square in the eye.
Absolutely.
And so how many people are actually in the police?
120,000, roughly, police officers. And then you have about 70,000 police community support officers who are not police officers, but have a lot of the functions of police officers.
Yeah, but are they, you know, they're a bit sad.
So, no, well,
or are they proper and should we respect
them? there's about 10,000 of police community support officers. And I don't think they're sad. I know quite a lot of happy PCSOs. My local PCSO is very happy. She's in her 60s. She loves it.
And do they deserve our respect?
Yes, I think so, yeah. They do a lot of the important stuff.
Checking.
They do a lot
what
of
have you said to a community support officer?
I'm just wondering, because you know, when the police tell you off,
you know about it.
You listen. When community support officers tell you off, if I'm not saying that's ever happened, obviously, you sort of think, oh, you're a bit of a cosplay police officer, aren't you? Is that...
But what kind of things...
Everyone in the room is looking at me like I'm a terrible human being now.
I'm just wondering what it is you've done in front of a community support officer.
I couldn't possibly say.
Thrown a sparkler at a dog? I'm spitballing here.
But they do a lot of the stuff that the public want the police to do, but the police basically don't have time to do.
Which like what?
Patrol the streets, provide a reassuring presence, talk to people, deal with antisocial behaviour, you know, nuisance neighbours, abandoned cars, you know, the sorts of things that basically people like the police to do, but the police are too busy dealing with
the light work.
Serious crime.
Oh, OK, so they're the sort of bobbies on the beat.
Yes,
the Daily
exactly.
Express.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's still actual policemen or women?
Yes, there are. So there's 120,000 actual police officers.
While we're on this, what can a police officer do that a community support officer can't do?
Well, they have the powers of a warranted officer, which is to search somebody, to arrest
right.
somebody, to execute a warrant, enter someone's home by force and so on.
So a community support officer can't arrest you?
No.
Interesting.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, isn't it?
So how are they going to deal with your antisocial behaviour?
They could call their friends who can arrest you. So, you're still going to be careful.
Do you have much dealings with detectives?
Some, yeah, yeah. They're much less sort of detective-like as you might expect from TV shows and stuff. Because that's the glamorous bit of policing, you know, it's the Inspector Morse, it's the sleuth, etc.
I was going to ask this question much later, but now we're on it. What's the most accurate TV detective? What's the one where you go, yeah, okay, I'll buy that? And if you say Life on Mars, I'm going to go wild.
No, I don't think it is Life on Mars, actually. I don't know. And it's certainly not Inspector Morse. I've never met any police detective.
He's super chilled out.
Vera.
I've never seen Vera. And most of these shows, obviously, exaggerate. I mean, it's not about detectives, but I think when The Bill was on, that was seen as being quite a more realistic interpretation.
What about Line of Duty? In terms of the investigation and how many corrupt police officers there are? Because it looks like all of them.
Yeah, I don't think there's as many corrupt police officers as there are in Line of Duty. There's not as much police corruption as there used to be. I think that's fair to say. I think if you went back to the 70s and 80s, particularly the Met, there was some serious problems. Having said that, you know, corruption in this country in the police is nothing like what it is in other countries, and by and large we have one of the, if you like, cleanest police forces in the world. That's one of the reasons people look to British policing, because
do people look to British policing? Are we
If you talk to people overseas, they like the fact that it's by and large quite clean and not corrupt. They like the fact that community policing, bobbies on the beat, is an important thing. If you went to France, for example, there's very little of what we would call neighbourhood policing, people out on the streets getting to know communities, that kind of thing. This idea of policing by consent, which is what we have, which is that the police are there to serve the public with the consent of the public. A lot of countries have a much more kind of aggressive, authoritarian form of policing, and we are seen as being sort of...
But does it work, being less authoritative in terms of crimes and stabbings?
I think so, because you can only solve crimes if you've got the confidence of the community, right? So one of the arguments for policing by consent, apart from the fact it's, you know, just in principle a good thing, is that people are more likely to cooperate with the police if they trust them. You know, so if you don't trust the police, you're unlikely to give them information or crimes and so on. So the idea is that it is better to have the police trusted by communities. Otherwise, you know, their job becomes very, very difficult. And the only way they can do it is by driving around in vans, arresting people, breaking down doors. And that's not the model that we've traditionally...
Does this mean that there's training for policemen to be trusting and to be friendly? Is that a big part of it then? I'm going to basically teach you to be a really good actor, and like, this is a trustworthy face. Trustworthy people say.
Yeah. Is there like special training to be friendly and do some dancing at the Notting Hill Carnival?
I don't think there's an actual course in that, but they are encouraged to be friendly, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, when Robert Peel set up the police service, these things called the Peelian principles, and one of the Peelian principles, which they still use as a reference point, is to be of service and to offer friendship to members of the public.
Oh, that's nice.
I could do with some of that.
Yeah.
Well, on the training, what is police training? Because I was trying to think what would be in it on the way in, and I was like, well, there'd be physical endurance, and then there would be logic, and then there would be reason. And I realised I was just listing the Krypton factor. is it the Krypton factor with a helmet on?
No, well, a lot of it is about the law, right? So a lot of it is, because fundamentals of this is that they understand the law and what their powers are, right? So if they exceed their powers and do something outside, they could be breaking the law themselves, you know? So they have a set of powers, and they have to understand what they are and in what circumstances they can use them. And then there's lots of technical stuff around, you know, how to drive a van at high speed, or how to, you know, if you're a firearms officer, how to shoot a gun.
The good stuff.
Absolutely. Policemen allowed to listen to podcasts in their automobiles?
Yeah, they're allowed to. I think that's a good question. If they're on duty, probably they would have to have their radio on, which will be telling them all the time, you know, this is going on, can anyone get there, etc., etc. So they probably wouldn't be able to do it in the van, actually.
Listen to podcasts. So they won't be listening to this.
I'm certain when I used to produce late night radio shows, we had a lot of police listening.
Ringing in.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain the police in South Wales are banging to Chris Needs' His Friendly Garden. I'm pretty sure of that.
In real life, do detectives have partners that they love to hate and who call them out on their shit?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never encountered that. There's a lot of police officers tend to be sort of married to other police officers. That's an interesting thing that you know.
That's a sitcom.
When you're from outside policing, you notice people meet through their profession, right?
So they're
And do good cops marry bad cops?
Well, I don't.
parenting, isn't it? Really clear for the kids so they know where they're at.
That's, I mean, it's very much rhetorical, I think.
On the partner thing, so is that a thing? Police go out in pairs?
Go out romantically in pairs?
No, as in
go out
working.
Patrol.
Yeah.
Because that's what we always see in TV shows.
Yeah, they're supposed to, but there is such a thing as single crewing, where they go out on their own. Of course, with all the pressures on police budgets and so on, there's been a bit more of that. And the police union, the police federation, very much disapproves of that and says that it's putting them in danger by making them go out on their own, basically. So there's a bit of a debate about
that. But was that because they don't like their partners? Like, I've had enough of you calling me out on my shit, so I'm going on this one on my own.
Some of them, so I'm sure that's true. Some of them, yeah.
Do you get to pick who your partner is, or is it like when in
like
school
dating?
Well, when it's in school, it's like, right, you've got to sit with the person next to you and talk about The Merchant of Venice for 5 minutes, and then we'll
my impression
like, how
is
do they do it?
I think it varies, but my impression is they don't really get to choose,
right,
you know, in most
so time. Do you have a regular person, or is it just like in the morning, like on Hill Street Blues, you know, you guys are going there and
yeah,
they'll have two, but it depends what they're doing, right? So some of them, policing is basically there's investigations, people go out and do criminal investigations, there's response teams who go out and do answer 999 calls, emergency stuff, and then there's neighborhood teams who cover a particular patch. So if you're in a neighborhood team, you're probably going to work with the same people, right, a lot of the time. My impression is in response you probably do quite a bit, but there'll be more, depends who's on shift.
If you're going out in a pair but one of you like makes the arrest or is a bit more heroic, is that competitive with your partner? Like, are they both trying to do the arrest first? And like in showbiz, even though we're all on the panel show to have fun, we all want to get our jokes in.
Yeah, it's like Mock the Week, but we're arresting someone. Yeah.
I think it depends on how important arresting people is to the officer, right? So I've been out with neighbourhood officers who are clearly motivated by wanting to get to know the community and solve problems and all of that. And I've also been out with the odd officer who basically just wanders around looking for people to arrest.
The power hungry.
And because some people, you know, so
the
for example, we went out with one guy and I remember an engine started banging and immediately rang the DVLA and immediately found out the guy wasn't insured. And then we went round to this guy's house to do it. And it just struck me that was a very odd thing. He was just watching in case anyone did anything a little bit dodgy so that he could go and do it. And I think some people will be more, if they see a result as being, yeah, we've nicked someone, we've solved a problem.
But does that get rewarded more? Is it result
driven?
Do
they call it a result?
Yes, yeah, I think they do.
So the thing I was wondering was, who goes into the police? Like, what sort of person goes, I want to wander the streets and tell people what to do?
I think...
Is it the people who thought teaching was a bit wishy-washy?
People that didn't get into drama school.
There's lots of different people go in, so they are quite a diverse bunch in terms of the characters and so on. And they're now trying to increase diversity at the moment in terms of gender, in terms of race, in terms of...
I have a friend who's a policewoman and is training to be a detective.
That's cool.
But we went to the cinema together not long ago and she saw me steal a wiggly worm and eat it. And she didn't say anything. So does that make her an accessory of crime? And should she do the right thing and leave the force?
Well, that's a good... I guess
she should have arrested you.
She should have.
Because my cousin's a copper and she was saying that even when you're off duty, if you see a crime being committed, you have to get stuck in.
She didn't step in. And I was wiggling the worm in her face. And I ate the worm.
Yeah, I think the idea is that if they see a crime being committed in front of their face, then they should...
She did nothing.
Wow.
She's a detective.
How much can the police turn a blind eye?
Well, I think they can't do everything, and it's also true that they don't enforce every law, you know, right?
No one's shot me with a crossbow in Gloucester, which is definitely one of those weird, you can still do that laws.
You can still, yeah, exactly, no, but they don't... So they have discretion, right? So one of the things is it's in their discretion to enforce the law in particular circumstances. And so they have to make that judgment. And sometimes they will say, this is not a priority because we've got too much to do. They generally say we focus on, they use the term threat, harm, risk, which is to assess what's the most harmful thing, the most threatening thing, the thing that poses the most risk to the public. And they use that to prioritise what they do. So things like cannabis possession, for example, which in some parts of the country is, you know, effectively decriminalised, really, because they would never arrest you for possessing small amounts of cannabis and they wouldn't go looking for it. In other parts of the country, there might be a bit more proactive on that, depending on the local policy, basically. But that is within their discretion, right, to sort of say, is that a priority for the police or not? They're not going to spend loads and loads of time dealing with people who cycle on the pavement, for example.
In terms of drugs, if I've always wondered this, if there's a raid and they go in and they find all this white powder, who tries it? Is there a designated person that goes...
A designated addict.
That goes, this is definitely coke, or this is the good stuff, or like, nah, this is low-grade coke. And isn't that not illegal that they're trying it? Or are they all allowed to go in and have a go and go, what do you think, Bob? Actually, Craig, I'm not sure about this stuff. It's good, but it's not as good as the last thing. So,
is there a dog that's just really full of itself by the end of the night?
I think they have ways of testing it. I don't know, to be honest, whether they test it themselves. But it wouldn't be illegal to do that. That would just be like...
As part of the job?
Yeah, no. And it wouldn't be illegal. Well, it wouldn't be illegal, I don't think, for anyone to sort of taste something. It would be.
But, well, you could get quite a good buzz if you...
Yeah, because and always on cop shows, you see people, you know, stick their yes. finger in the thing and then lick it and go, oh, yeah, that's...
And they are up all night.
That's why
there
you're
we go,
up
that'll be
night.
It. What crimes would you say, leading on from that, are the easiest to get away with in terms of being overlooked or...
Fraud would be the easiest one.
Really?
Yeah, because you can make large amounts of money. I mean, not that I'm advocating this, but people make a lot of money from defrauding people. This is why a lot of people have gone into it. It's very hard to catch people doing it for the reason that a lot of the people doing it tend to live in other countries. So there's nothing that, you know, Bedfordshire police can do about someone living in China trying to defraud someone in Luton. It's all done remotely. There's no DNA evidence. There's no forensics. You know, it's not like when you burgle a house, you leave lots of fingerprints and then they can try and find who did it. A lot of the evidence will be on, you know, servers in other countries and things like that. And also the police don't tend to prioritise fraud as well because it's so difficult that it tends to be a crime which is doesn't get prioritised for investigation. And we've done some work saying that that's wrong and they need to prioritise it more. But when fraudsters are interviewed in prison, when they're asked why they did it, they tend to say, because we just thought we'd never get caught.
What's the best time to do a crime? When are the police most busy?
Well, they're busy. Well, they're generally busy at night.
Busy and sleepy.
Yeah. Well, although they'll be on shift, so a lot of them, some of them will just come straight onto their shift, so they might have come on late afternoon or something like that.
But be on for the night. Is there like a time where it's all hands on deck? It's like Friday night.
Friday night, Saturday night, definitely.
And you know when... I'm trying to think of an example.
When Donald Trump visits the country.
Right, that's a really good example.
Because then they were all pulled out to go and provide protection.
Okay, this is exactly what I wanted to get to. So, Donald Trump's in the country and we've pulled police from absolutely everywhere to come and stand in wherever he was, Leicester Square or like wherever he was in London. If I do a crime in Reading, is that like devoid of police officers for that day because we've all gone to Donald Trump?
They'll have some police officers, but they probably won't. The skeleton crew, yeah,
right.
Definitely. I would think so. And they had to pull in people to do that. And anything like a big event, public order issue, Brexit would be, you know, I mean, crikey, you know, if we do fall out without a deal, then...
Is it true they're going to evacuate the Queen?
Apparently so, yeah.
What, who's going to, like, a load of policemen are just going to take her somewhere, like to Ibiza or something?
Yeah, well, her special protection, special branch people would do.
I mean, they didn't, the royal family didn't leave London during the Blitz.
Seems a little...
Yeah.
So basically what we're saying is that the four of us need to get together and come up with a fraud plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the middle of the night on Brexit Day.
Yes.
That would probably be the best time to do it, yeah.
Is it... Right, here's a question. Is it wrong that I'm finding this tempting?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to make that clear. If you're enjoying Any Stupid Questions, you could always leave a review somewhere and tell other people about it. 5 stars would be nice, but feel free to give it 1 star if you went to school with Danielle and didn't get on.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Who was the last Home Secretary the police actually liked?
They really didn't like Theresa May. She's probably the one that they disliked the most.
I think. Is that because they're massive sexists?
No, I think it was because there were massive cuts in, you know, in police officer numbers and so on. So I think that, austerity was unpopular. So I think this government's been quite unpopular with police. So I think probably you'd have to go back to the Labour period because there was more money around and so on. I mean, they wouldn't really say it. I don't know. I mean, maybe Alan Johnson or someone like that.
He always seemed all right, didn't he?
Yes, people sort of seem to like Alan Johnson.
Yeah,
so.
Let's say him.
What were on the subject of police cuts? Am I right in saying the police can't strike?
No, they're not allowed to strike.
So what do they do when they are cross? Is that like a police mum's net where they just all sit? Like,
well, there's a lot of police officers on Twitter, right? So you get a lot of... And there's a lot of people who are anonymous officer. And they... If you follow the anonymous ones, they'll be saying what they really think about
right.
things. So they do that. Or,
but what is the official... In lieu of striking, what's there?
They don't have that many options in terms of withdrawing Labour. And traditionally what's happened is that the police have used that moral pressure on the government to say, you know, you need to give us the money. They have an independent pay body. It makes a recommendation. Although recently the government hasn't given the police what the independent body suggested and has given them less. And so, they are pretty angry about it. I mean, they did demonstrate, they did march, you know, when some of these pay reforms were brought in.
But that was quite smart. The police. Yeah.
So
organised.
And is it fundamentally about money? Is that whether they like you or not, are there other sorts of policies and things?
No,
and
I think stuff? I think they would like politicians who they feel are making their job easier in various different ways. You know, so supporting them on a whole range of things. You know, whether it's keeping them safe or looking after their well-being or dealing with some of the problems they're facing. But I think there's no doubt that basically the reason morale is so bad at the moment, and it is pretty bad, is because there were about 140,000 cops, there's now about 120,000, the pay's been frozen, the overtime's been cut, you know, I mean, all of that tends to feed through into poor morale.
I know from my friend that the wage isn't great, but she gets lots of extra perks, like a good rate on the mortgage and
right,
free
yeah.
travel
yeah.
and great pensions.
And all those drugs she's tasting.
Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are other benefits that they can get as well. And I think, for example, Met officers get free travel and public
yeah.
transport in London, things like that. So there are different benefits that they get for the...
And at Christmas, do you get to, like, go through the confiscation box and have a
dip?
Yeah.
Try all the things.
I don't know.
That's what I'd do if I was
I don't know
secretary.
What they do with all that. But, I mean, if you go into some police stations, you know, in some places they're full of stuff that they've recovered, you know, like bikes and all sorts.
Because they do auctions, don't they, sometimes? Yeah. Bike auctions and things like that.
Well, they've got to get rid of them somehow, you know. So.
Does that get them enough income to offset the cuts?
No.
Right.
They don't matter. I don't think they make very much money off that.
Well,
They got told off for selling uniforms on eBay. I think it was Sussex Police were selling old uniforms online. They took the badges off. But then people said, are criminals going to buy them and then pretend to be police officers, you know, and go knock
yeah.
on people's doors?
Can you then arrest them for impersonating a police officer
yes.
if you've sold them.
If you sold them. Well, kids. I think you probably still could, actually, in theory. Yeah, in theory. But their argument was, all we're selling is black trousers and white shirts, and we've taken the badges off, so it's okay.
How do you know if someone is impersonating a police officer if they're just really, really good at it?
Well, like Inspector Morse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't know, would you? I mean, you know, if they're
is it a common problem? People impersonate.
No, I don't think it's a very common problem. But you know, there are people who go around do door to door things where they're trying to. Well, they impersonate lots of people. You know, impersonate people from British Gas or, you know, utilities.
It's because impersonating a police officer just sounds like a crime that only exists in comedy sketches.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like it was made up for a sketch.
Yeah, that's a costume department finding a. Police costume from the Sussex Force online and going, we could use that.
How many police officers speed and put their sirens on just for the fun of it? Oh, because they're late to pick their kids up from school.
Well, I think they would deny. They're not allowed to do that. But, yeah, I do wonder whether sometimes it goes on just because, you know, sometimes a call come through and I've been on what they call ride-alongs where you go in the van and sometimes you're sort of thinking, is this... Do we really need to get there that fast? but it is quite cool, actually.
Yeah, that must be really exciting.
Because everyone gets out of the way, you know, and you're sort of sat there and you forget that it's on because you're just sort of driving in a van and they put the light on and you're going, wow, everyone's just getting out of the way.
Do people not? Do some people just not get out of the way?
No, pretty much everybody does. They pull over.
Can you get arrested for not getting out of the way?
I think that would be too complicated to deal with. Somebody has been at some point, but I mean, they probably just want to get to where they need to go.
Since becoming a mother, I accidentally discovered that having a buggy is a great way to shoplift. Should I go to prison? My son and the buggy have only stolen like organic spelt loaves that are very expensive. we did do a dummy, one of those expensive ones from... Sorry, should I be saying this?
Was your friend who's a police officer?
She wasn't with me, but I accidentally discovered it because I was shopping and I put the loaf of bread on top of the buggy and I paid for everything and then I walked out the shop and went, oh my God. So now every time I go into this shop, I might try to accidentally... I need to stop talking.
Yeah.
Shoplifting is one of those things they don't prioritise now. So they'll say things like...
That was the question.
If you're at Tesco's and you think someone's nicked something and you ring the police, they'll probably just say, can you check the CCTV yourself? And they're certainly not going to go around, I don't think anyway, prioritising arresting...
A tired mum?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Particularly if she cries? Oh, yeah, does it help if you cry? if you're being arrested or cautioned or something, if you cry, can you get away with it?
No.
Damn!
What about, talking of the shop scenario and shoplifting, what's the deal with store security? Can they detain you?
No. They might be able to do a citizen's arrest and they could probably...
But I can do a citizen's arrest.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to be wearing a tie.
Yeah, I don't know is the answer, but I don't think they have any extra powers that most people wouldn't have. But they could probably, as any citizen could, if you think someone's committed a crime, hold them until the police can get there.
If you have been caught with shoplifting a loaf of bread accidentally, are you likely to go to prison for that?
No.
No. Could you get a criminal record?
You might do.
How do citizens' arrests work?
Well, I think it's just that. I think if you see a crime being committed, then you're able to apprehend the person and as long as hold them until the police can get there.
Could you bash them over the head with your handbag or something and say, I was making a citizen's arrest and they were unruly?
You could only use reasonable force, which was proportionate to the threat. So you're not allowed to assault somebody, you know.
Of course not.
Proportional to the threat means if you catch someone stealing a box of Shreddies... You can detain them, but only using the Shreddies as a weapon.
That's probably right.
Can someone get done for resisting a citizen's arrest?
No.
That becomes complicated, doesn't it?
I don't think they can, actually.
And does the phrase, you're nicked, hold legal force?
No. But I think it is used.
Do they still
really?
Say it?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Seriously, that's
brilliant. I've
never
been nicked, so I don't know. No one's ever said it to me. But it's common parlance, isn't it? Yeah.
Do they say you're nicked and then read you your rights?
I think they have to tell you that you're being arrested. They have to explain to you why you're being arrested and explain what it means.
Does that ever change what they have to say? Does that always stay the same or does it get tweaked over?
I think they can say it in different ways, but there are various points that they have to make.
Yeah, it's not like the Lord's Prayer where at the start of the day they all say it as well. No. I can now vote for my police commissioner.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Well, before they were brought in, there was a committee of people called the police authority who basically held the budget for the local police force, appointed the local chief constable, and had the power to remove the chief constable.
Okay.
David Cameron brought in these elected commissioners who basically just do all of that but in one person.
Why do I get a say in that?
Well, that's a really good question.
I think the police have always had a complicated relationship with democracy, right? So there's tended to be this thing called the tripartite system. The tripartite system, which is a three-part system, there is the police are accountable to the public via a local democratic organisation of some kind, and now the Police and Crime Commissioner. Right. They're accountable to the Home Office for dealing with various things. And the police also have to make their own minds up about stuff, you know. So the politicians can't tell them they want them to start an investigation into something or arrest a person or something like that. That is within what's called operational independence. So they make those decisions for themselves. But politicians can say, we want you to prioritise these types of crime in this area and we're going to give you this amount of money to do it. And if you don't do the job well, you know, we can remove the chief constable.
Because I looked up, I remembered these things existed on the way in. So I looked up police commissioners and I saw the list of them in Britain. And then it's got like the name of the police commissioner and afterwards in brackets, it's got like Conservative or Labour. And why does that...
It feels really weird.
Yeah, why do they have a party allegiance? I mean, I know why that, because they've turned it into an elected thing. But why is that a good idea?
Yeah, well, I mean, they sort of... I think because it just... If you're going to turn it into an elected thing, you've got to give people the freedom to stand for whatever they want. And what tends to then happen is that people just vote for the same party they always vote for, this time in the police election. The reality is, though, if you talk to most of, like, there isn't that much difference between them on party lines, maybe on some like austerity and things like that on some national things. But in terms of, you know, there isn't a if you looked at how policing is done in different areas, you wouldn't say there's a Labour way of doing it or a Conservative way of doing it. Largely because a lot of that is down to the chief constable. And the politician is just there to say, here's your money, here's some basic priorities. And they can, you know, they can make changes.
Is it a full-time job?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it feels like a very, very... When you're in the booth, it's bad enough when it's an MP and you haven't really read the literature properly. But when it's the police and crime, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing.
Mm.
I mean, it's like voting for Brexit. These are things. It feels like these are things that we should not have been given a say in because I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Very true.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Well, they don't. I mean, basically, turnout is very poor. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, I think it got close to 20% or something last time. But it was the first time they were introduced, it was only 12% of people took part.
So given that, could all the criminals get together and vote in really, really lenient?
The funny thing is that they actually, in the first round, lots of ex-police officers got voted in as independents, although they lost out in the second round. People tended to revert to the party. And there's some issues with that. I think there's some issues where you have a person who's been a police officer in a particular force, and then they end up being the boss of the chief constable, you know, so they were working under the chief constable and then they end up being that person's boss. That's a very peculiar relationship.
Yes.
And what if you were in a different police force and then you become the crime commissioner in a different area?
Yeah.
This is how we did it in Sussex.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Is there rivalry between forces and are all the other ones jealous of the Met because they're the sexy one?
Yeah, there is. I think there is rivalry. Yeah, there's competition. And it's like anything, isn't it? If you have a little team, you tend to have a bit of competition around it. And the Met is 25% of the police, so it's huge.
Oh wow.
And yeah, it's
enormous. And are there stars within it? Everyone knows, like, oh, they're on the way up, that person. Or
yeah. No, there are people you notice and there are people you think are high flyers and so on. Yeah.
Are there four countries that make up the UK?
Yeah.
I know there are four countries. I'm well aware of that. Are the police run differently in, because it's always Wales and England,
yeah,
and then is Northern Ireland quite different?
Yes, it has its own justice system and some of its own law as well. And Scottish has its own justice system, law and police.
So for the police, what's different about being a Northern Irish?
Well, quite a lot, I think.
Right.
You know, because it's got mainly the context rather than the law, I would say. There'll be some legal differences, but mainly the fact that you've still got something of a terrorist question to deal with, and that you've got whole communities who still have a problem trusting the police. You know, so there are still some communities in Northern Ireland, as I understand it, where you know, it's difficult for the police service in Northern Ireland to go in and do foot patrol, for example, because people don't...
They don't want to see them.
Yeah, exactly.
And is it run... Does that mean the police is run quite differently in Northern Ireland?
Yes, exactly, yeah. They've done a lot to try to recruit, for example, more Catholic officers, and they've, you know, that has improved it a lot. But yeah, it's... and of course, I mean, in the old days, people, you know, there was a lot of vigilantism, you know, so the way you dealt with drug dealers was paramilitaries would deal with it. And they've tried, and in fact, what they've done in Northern Ireland is try to get some of the paramilitaries to come into some of the official structures. So they'll have things like youth hearings and so on, where, you know, some of the people who were involved in some of that work might be people who were involved in paramilitary activity in the past, but they could have come over into this work. So they've done things to try to, if you like, co-opt those groups into the system.
What qualifications do you need to become a police man?
Well, woman? This is a controversial topic because they've just introduced a thing which says you need to have a degree, which you never previously had. I mean, policing was one of the great professions which didn't have any pre-entry qualifications at all, basically. You couldn't be a criminal.
But yeah.
Which is
ironic. Why are you looking at me when you say that?
They'd be great.
They know the business. Yeah, they know how to catch people, wouldn't they? Yeah,
so. But that makes it really hard for kids that want to do that but then can't afford to go to university. Yes. That sounds like a scam.
Ridiculous.
To get kids
no,
to go
so
to...
No, so they've changed it now. So basically you can now either... They've introduced this thing called an apprenticeship, which means that you can join without a degree but you get a degree within the first 4 years that you're a police officer. You can do it on the side.
And how long is the training in total then?
Well, I think you do this apprenticeship over... I think it's the first 4 years.
And so you have to pay for it?
No, I don't think you do have to pay for the apprenticeship training, but there's another thing called a policing degree that you do have to pay for.
How much is that?
I think standard tuition fees. So, yeah.
In a similar training thing, what's the thing that stops people from joining the police? As in, they sign up to the training and then they go, oh, this isn't for me. Is it allergy to horses, or is it? You know, like, what are the things where they go, oh, this is not for you?
I've met people who sometimes didn't like the culture, like maybe felt it was a bit, you know, maybe a bit macho. You know, I've met people who didn't like that. I think that's changed quite a lot,
right?
As they get more and more different people involved.
But that's people who started the training and went, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
What about the people who the police went, this isn't for you?
You.
what happens there?
I think if it's obvious that someone is not, I mean, I don't know, if someone's not trustworthy or something, then helpfully, you know, they'll not approve them.
Is it,
you know, they
wouldn't... But do people fail the training quite often?
I don't know what the statistics are on that, but there will be people who do. I
mean, is it definitely quite hard to pass then once
this
you're
is
there?
What I,
is it?
I'm,
yeah.
I'd like to think...
There's but a, it is quite hard.
I don't
to
know.
Pass.
I remember
I think
my friend when she was training having lots of exams and being very stressed because she was always having exams.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like an exam-y sort of job.
No, it's not. And a lot of the training is, as I say, it's things like the law. Do you understand the law and so on? But there are tests, and then there's also a period where you go out on the beat, where you get your, I think it's called approved patrol status, and you can, before you get that, you're not allowed to go out on your own on patrol, for example, and you get a lot of that on the job training, so you'll be going.
You have to be able to drive to be a policeman.
I think so, yes. Yeah,
we have time for one last question, and I'm going to steal it for a subject that is close to my heart. How do you police dog poo? Right, because there's a lot of it about, and they say there are fines, and there's a woman on our street who lets her dog shit everywhere, and I can't see how she can get caught.
The only way of catching people is by seeing them doing something. And the only way of doing that is either through cameras or the public reporting it. So,
to film,
you know, so,
her.
So
right.
You know, or
stake
they,
out time.
Yeah, so the neighbour, or if some, yeah, so if the neighbourhood officer or neighbour watch or whatever went around and said, keep an eye out. And then people did, and then they... Because that's the only way you're going to catch someone actually in the act. Because otherwise it's very difficult to prove.
Well, like, you know, that's...
But if you've got the footage, then what can you do with it?
Well, you take it to the police and they could... Yeah.
Do you have to follow them home to work, so you know where they live? And And if you do that, are you then committing some sort of crime by stalking someone home?
No, that's, I don't think that's stalking. I think,
oh, cool. Yeah. Well, that's a relief. So that's it for this week on that bombshell. Thank you ever so much, Rick Muir. Thank you, Gareth Gwynne and Olivia Lee. And remember that you can follow us on Twitter at AnyStupidQs. I'm Carrie Quinlan. The producer was Ed Morrish. Danielle Ward is too lazy to be here.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.